Well, Psalm 139, this is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and good works. Well, Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light above me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your books were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O man of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not love those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. So John Calvin once famously said that the book of Psalms is an anatomy of human soul, because in it, Psalms touches on all emotions and experience in human life. And we have certainly seen this as we examined last two Psalms in last two Sunday in the book of Psalms. So for example, in Psalm 1, we have seen how the psalmist touched on the emotion of holy ambition and how the psalmist encouraged us to imitate and be like the righteous man, Jesus Christ, as we live in this world. And for the matter, we also have seen last Sunday how David touched on the emotion of guilt and spiritual depression as we examine Psalm 38. And as David himself struggled with his sin and guilt in his life, he taught us that we must process it and respond to our guilt and our sin by pleading and confessing and hoping before the Lord. And this morning then, I want us to touch on another important and relevant human emotion and human experience in life, that is emotion and experience no other than anxiety and depression, or perhaps stress. You see, according to the latest statistic that I found from the research, it is said that about 50 million Americans are currently medically diagnosed with anxiety disorder. And for the matter, it says that about over 25% of a young adult from age 18 to 30 are struggling with anxiety. About 15% of middle-aged people, you know, from 30 to 60, they struggle with bipolar disorder or anxiety disorder. And it says that even like 10% or more of an older generation, you know, age 60 and above, are struggling with some sort of mental health issue. And for the matter, same statistic also says that there are about 300 million people in the world who are medically diagnosed with anxiety disorder, the number which would skyrocket when we consider the countries and people who do not have access to any therapist or who consider seeing counselor as a taboo in their society. So these statistics show us that anxiety, stress, and depression is a common emotional problem and issue in our society, in our culture. So accordingly, we should not be surprised when we find ourselves, or for the matter, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ struggling with anxiety and depression in their Christian walk. You see, like one of my professor helpfully said or wrote in his book, Christians get depressed too. Christians get anxious too. Christians get stressed out too in their life. So the real question we need to ask right now is this: what should Christians do when they are struggling with anxiety and stress and depression in their lives? I mean, what should Christians do when their hearts are paralyzed as they were caught in the tempest of anxiety and depression in their life? What should Christians do when we cannot help but to question and doubt and say, does God even care about what I'm going through? Does God even care about what I'm feeling right now? Well, in order to answer these questions, I want us to look into Psalm 139 this morning, another psalm that is written by David, the king of Israel. And in this psalm, David shows us how he himself processed and responded to anxiety and depression that came into his life. And accordingly, as we examine Psalm 139 together, I want us to learn how Christians should also respond and process anxiety and cares and worries that overwhelms in Christian life. So if I may submit this proposition to you this morning, before I go any further, I want to submit this big picture or big idea from Psalm 139. That is, dear friends, when we are caught in the tempest of anxiety and stress and worries, Psalm 139 teaches us to anchor ourselves in God and his divine attributes. So let me say it again. When Christians are caught in the tempest of anxiety and distress or stress, David teaches us that we must anchor ourselves in God and in his divine attributes. So then, before we go any further, let me just quickly touch on the preliminary information or the context of today's text. And as we have already seen, Psalm 139 was written by David, the king of Israel, as the Bible starts with this short description to the choir master, a psalm of David. So Psalm 139 was written to be a song, like a hymn that Christians or that Israelites would sing together, you know, in a temple worship. So that's why Psalm 139 was written by David. And even though the psalm doesn't really tell us the historical context or what caused David to write this psalm, it is, I think Psalm 139 suggests to us that David wrote it because he found himself in some sort of a circumstance of anxiety and depression in his life. It seems like David wrote this because his enemies, you know, rose against him to destroy him, to oppose him. And we see this in verses 19 through 22. So it says here, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate your Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." So Psalm 139 seems to suggest that David wrote it because he was in a circumstance where his enemies rose against him to destroy him, to oppose him. And it is in this context that David brought his cares and his worries and his anxieties before the Lord. He says in verses 22, 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts or know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any painful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So having observed this, I think we need to ask this question. Why did David decide to bring his cares and worries before the Lord as he found himself in a circumstance of distress and trial? I mean, what about the Lord that prompted David to bring his worries and cares before him? What did David see from the Lord that he decided to say, well, I'm anxious, I'm going to anchor myself in him? Well, first thing that we notice from today's text is that David decided to bring his cares and worries before him because he remembered that the Lord was a Lord of omniscience. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, David's remembrance of the Lord's omniscience. David's remembrance of the Lord's omniscience. As he begins Psalm 139 in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now, boys and girls, let me ask you a question here. Have you, boys and girls, ever heard of the word omniscience before? You know, O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Have you ever heard of this word before? You know, I think my speculation, I think I assume that many of you never heard of this word before, and it is your first time hearing this word. And to tell you about omniscience, this is a theological term that many theologians and Bible scholars came up with as they study the Bible to tell us something about God. And to tell you what omniscience means, it means to know everything and all things. So omni means all, and science or science, knowledge. So when we say omniscience, it means that it knows, you know, knowing everything. So when we say the Lord is an omniscient Lord, we are saying that the Lord is a Lord who knows everything and all things. Now, isn't that amazing to think about? To know all things and everything. You see, it's actually impossible for us to even imagine what it is like to know everything and all things, because every one of us are not omniscient. In fact, even the smartest people and the most intellectual people who lived in this world, like this great scientist, philosopher, and great intellectuals like Edison, you know, Einstein, Socrates, Nikola Tesla, you know, they had a great wealth of knowledge in themselves, but they never called themselves omniscient because they didn't know everything and all things in this world. And for that matter, if you're honest like me, I'm sure you will also say that you are not omniscient man or woman. There's always something that we don't know. And there is something that we will never know, even through eternity. But David tells us this is not the case with the Lord. He tells us that the Lord is an omniscient Lord who knows everything and all things in this world and the world beyond. And David especially testifies of this as he talks about how the Lord knows everything about David himself. So he says in verses 2-6, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. In other words, David testifies to us today that the Lord knows every thought and every action, even the smallest, even the tiniest habit that David may not be aware of himself. David testifies that the Lord knows them everything. And for the matter, in verses 4-5, David testifies to us that the Lord even knows David's deepest emotion and David's murkiest thought, that he cannot even organize in his mind and put it in his mouth. As he says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. So David marvels at the Lord's omniscience. He marvels saying, this knowledge is too wonderful for me, that you know me and know everything and all things about me as your eyes are surrounding me, as you're giving me your utmost attention personally and intimately. So David declares, it is high. I cannot attain it. I cannot understand why and how you know everything about me. But this is the very reason why David decided to bring his cares and anxiety before the Lord. Because even though David may not fully understand the depth of pain that he's going through, David knew that the Lord knows, because he's an omniscient, all-knowing God. And in this way, David declares that I will bring my cares and worries before the Lord as I am in the storm and tempest of anxiety and stress. In this way, my dear friend, I believe that today's text gives us the reason why we must also bring our cares and worries before the Lord. And that is simply because the Lord knows everything about you, all things about you, that the Lord knows what you are going through. You see, one of the most difficult things about people struggling with anxiety, it's not just that they are going through anxiety, but it's that it seems like nobody understands what you're going through. Have you ever had that experience before? You tell other people what you're feeling. You tell other people that you are depressed. You tell other people that you're anxious. But it seems like your friends doesn't get you. Seems like your loved one doesn't even get you. Seems like even your therapist doesn't fully, seems like even your therapy doesn't fully get you. And the truth of the matter is, that's true. That is right. You know, your friend doesn't fully understand what you go through. Your loved one doesn't fully understand what you're going through. Even your therapist doesn't fully understand what you're going through in your life. They can empathize with you. They can sympathize with you, certainly, but the depth of pain, anxiety, and worries that you have in your heart, they don't fully understand. When some people say, oh, I understand what you're going through, I don't know. Well, I certainly don't say that I understand what you're going through when someone comes to me and tell me their problem, because I don't fully understand what they're going through. But David tells us this is not the case with the Lord. The Lord knows all things. And unlike anyone in this world, he knows, he understands all your anxiety and all your cares and all your worries in its deepest level possible. Perhaps even better than what you're feeling about yourself. And this is why David tells us that we must anchor ourselves in the Lord when we find ourselves in a tempest of anxiety. Because the Lord knows. But as you can see, David goes on in today's text, and he tells us that he decided to bring his cares and worries, not only because the Lord is a Lord of omniscience, but also because the Lord is a Lord of omnipresence. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon, David's remembrance of the Lord's omnipresence. David's remembrance of the Lord's omnipresence. And David opened this, as he says in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Now, I'm sure you can guess this from the word omnipresence. This is also another word invented by theologians and Bible scholars to tell us something about God. When omniscience talks about God's all-knowing attributes, omnipresence talks about God's all-present, you know, attributes. You can guess that from omni, all-presence, presence. So when we say that the Lord is omnipresent, we are saying that the Lord is everywhere and everywhere in this world. And David actually contemplates on this truth about God As he questioned in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? And he uses this poetical language to answer his question, as he says in verses 8 through 12, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light above me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. So what is David saying here? What is he trying to communicate to us? Well, if I can paraphrase what David is saying here, perhaps it sounds like this. So many of you already know my love for space. You know, I told you when I preached on Psalm 1, how I wanted to be like an astronaut. How I wanted to become an astronaut when I grew up as a little boy. Well, then now imagine for a moment with me, the NASA space program successfully created a spacecraft that can travel in the speed of light. And then all of us had the opportunity to get into the spaceship, and then we walked through space, and then we got to the edge of our universe. Now, by the way, nobody knows where the edge of our universe is. You know, nobody knows how far it is away from our Earth, because our universe is keep expanding, and nobody knows what's beyond it. But just say, for the sake of our argument, that we travel with this through the space and we got to the edge of our universe and we feel like we are so lonely. We are so far away from everyone else. It feels like we are in the middle of nowhere as the dark space is covering us. But David tells us that we are not alone, even at the edge of the universe. He tells us that the Lord is there with us because he is an omniscient God who is everywhere and allwhere. And for the matter, David also testifies to us that the Lord is even at the deepest and darkest part of our world, as he declares that even when David makes the bed in Sheol, he says, you are there. So perhaps the closest thing that comes to Sheol in our time, I think, will be a Paris catacomb. So for those of you who never heard of a Paris catacomb in France, well, Paris catacomb is one of the biggest and deepest catacombs that exists in our world. In fact, it is so big and so deep that the French government, they restrict the access of majority of this catacomb underground city because a lot of people actually tried to explore on this catacomb and got lost in there. So only the fraction of this catacomb is open to the public. You know, they use it for the tourism, but the rest of it is closed from the public access. But now imagine for a moment with me that we are in this Paris catacomb at its deepest level, at its end of this Paris catacomb. It's dark. It's dead silent. It's cold. Seems like no one is in that place except you. It seems like everybody's forgot about you as you find yourself in this dark and quiet and eerie place. Well, David tells us that you are not alone, even in this depth of catacomb. He tells us that the Lord is there as well, because he's an omnipresent God. So David declares today that no darkness can hide us from the Lord. No distance can cut us away from the Lord, because the Lord is always with us. The Lord is everywhere with us. And for this reason, David declares that I will bring my cares and worries before the Lord when I find myself in anxious place, because I know that the Lord is with me, even in this terrible and ugly storm. Accordingly, my dear friend, I believe that today's text gives us the reason why we must also anchor ourselves in our anxiety, in our stress, again, simply because the Lord is with you. I don't know if you ever had this experience in your life. maybe I can tell you what my experience in my life. So there was a time that I greatly struggled with my depression, anxiety. And when I told this to my friends, some of my friends not only understood what I was going through, but some of my friends actually defriended me because they actually even told me that, oh, you're such a liability. You know, they did not want to go through what I was going through. They did not want to carry my burden. They simply disowned me and they just simply cut friendship with me. You see, when we are going through some rough and difficult time, we might experience some people leaving us, cutting their relationship with us because they just don't want to handle us, I guess. But you see, today's text tells us that that is not the case with the Lord. It tells us that even the whole world may abandon you, even though you may be cut off from everyone else, that the Lord is still there with you. No matter how ugly, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult the circumstance of your anxiety is, today's text tells us that the Lord is present because it's an omniscient Lord. But David goes on again in today's text, and he's not done yet from Psalm 139. And he tells us third reason why he decides to come to the Lord with his worries and cares. And that's because David remembered that the Lord is an omnipotent Lord. So let's jump into the third point of today's sermon, David's remembrance of the Lord's omnipotence. David's remembrance of the Lord's omnipotence. As David opens up verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. So unlike omniscience and omnipresent, I'm sure many of you already heard of the word omnipotence, especially if you love to listen to Handel's Messiah in a hallelujah chorus, and it has the word omnipotence. Like, I have such a strong urge to sing it right now, but I am not going to embarrass my wife. So I'm just going to say the word. You know, it says, hallelujah, 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 the Lord omnipotence, you know, reigneth. Right? So hallelujah chorus talks about omnipotence, and we all know what omnipotence means. It means to be all powerful. So when we say that the Lord is all omnipotence, we are saying that the Lord is all powerful Lord. And David meditates on the omnipotence of the Lord as he contemplates on his existence, as he talks about, as he thinks about how he came to existence in our world. And David says, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in the books were written, every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, David testifies to us that his existence in this world was not out of accident. It was not out of random chance. It was not even out of man's will. But David says, I came into existence because of the Lord's sovereign and divine providence and power. He declares in today's text that it was the Lord's divine design that made the embryo of David to fully developed into a fetus. In today's text, David declares that it was the Lord's omnipotent power that made the cells of the, David to divide and become a David for who he is. You see, just like a potter who takes the lump of mud and creates a beautiful pottery, David declares that it was the Lord's hand that took David's unformed cell and fashioned it with bones and hairs and eyes and fingerprints and everything that is on David and made him the man of God that he was. So David declares, I praise you because I am precious. I praise you because I am valuable. I praise you because I'm worthy, not because I'm a king of Israel, not because I'm a mighty man of God, because you have made me wonderfully and fearfully. So David decided to bring his cares and worries before the Lord because he knew that if the Lord has created them, if the Lord is powerful, that he is able to bring him and deliver him from his anxiety and his problem. But now, having observed this, the Lord's omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, some of us might ponder this question, that is, so what? So what? I mean, it's good that the Lord is all-knowing. It's good that the Lord is all-powerful and all-present. And it's certainly good that David remembers it and brings his cares before him because of them. But does God even care about David? I mean, what's the point of bringing your worries and cares before omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient Lord if God doesn't care? What's the point? Well, so David continues his psalm and gives us the last reason, the single greatest reason of all, why he decided to anchor himself in the Lord as he found himself in a storm of anxiety and stress. And that is because David knew that the Lord was no other than an omnibenevolent Lord, omnibenevolent Lord, the Lord who is all good to his people. So let's jump into the last point of today's sermon very briefly. David's remembrance of the Lord's omnibenevolence. Omnibenevolence. As David concludes his meditation in verses 17 through 18, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. So let me ask you one last question. When you cannot fall asleep, what do you do? What do you do when you cannot fall asleep at night? I'm pretty sure this is a thing in America as well, but you know, when I couldn't fall asleep as a kid, my mom told me to count the sheep in my head. Well, it never worked for me because I was so concentrated and I was trying to count everything until 100. And it kept me up all night, but well, you know, many of you, I'm sure, also may have count sheep, you know, when you cannot fall asleep. And most of the time, you will fall asleep because 100 sheep is a lot of count, you know, a lot of sheep for you to count, right? Well, David testifies to us that he also knows the Lord is all good to him because his thoughts are all, he has so many precious thoughts toward David. And David even declares that when I try to count the precious thoughts and counsel that the Lord has for me, just like how we count sheep at night, David says, I can never do that. In fact, even I try to do that after I wake up, I always found the new things to thank God, new things to remember the precious thoughts of God about me. So David declares in today's text that he knows the Lord wants nothing but good toward them. And accordingly, David declares that he will anchor himself to the Lord because when he brings his anxiety and cares before him, that the Lord will care, that the Lord will listen, that the Lord will hear him. But now, that is David. But what about us? Can we also be assured that the Lord will be good to us? I mean, will the Lord be also all good to us as we are struggling with worries and anxieties in our lives? Can we also bring our cares and worries before him to this omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent Lord? Well, the scripture says, absolutely. The scripture testifies to us that the Lord, who was all good to David in his struggle, is also the Lord who promised to be all good to us in our struggle as well. So if you have your Bible with you, please turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we actually read this already in the morning. This is what Jesus Christ promises to us. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you might, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And here's the good news, my dear friends. We do know that our Heavenly Father does care for us and for our good, and desires to give us good things to us, because the Bible teaches us that God has given us his only begotten Son for our peace, our good, and our welfare. You know, when we were yet dead in trespasses, the Father has given us his Son so that we may have life in him. When we were yet rebellious, the Father has given us his Spirit so that we may become obedient to the faith. And indeed, Jesus Christ, my dear friend, is the sign and surety of God's omnipotent benevolence in our life. If God can give us his Son for our good, we can be assured that he will also take care of us when we are anxious and worried and stressed in our life. So in this way, we have examined today how David processed and responded to his anxiety and worries in his life. You see, as David found himself in the tempest of this fear and anxiety, he remembered the Lord's omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and omnibenevolence. Accordingly, we ought to imitate David in this regard. And we must find ourselves, when we find ourselves struggling with anxiety and cares of this world, we must also anchor ourselves in God. But now, before I close this morning's message, let me just make a very quick remark and clarification here. That is, Psalm 139 is not the cure for anxiety and depression. I'm not telling you that when you do this, you will be cured from your anxiety and your depression. No, that's not what Psalm 139 is about. Sadly, there will be many moments in our lives when we will continue to struggle with anxiety and depression, even if we live in a godly manner like Psalm 139 teaches us to live. But what Psalm 139 teaches us today is to run to the Lord when we are anxious and worried. Psalm 139 teaches us that when the storm of anxiety comes in our life, when the waves of anxiety comes in our life, we must look to the Lord and thankful actually for our anxiety, because it will throw us to the rock of ages who knows, who stays, and who empowers and who changes his people. So as I close this morning's message, allow me to exhort you one last time, my dear friends, when we are anxious, let us remember the Lord. When you're anxious, remember the Lord. So let us all pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this truth that you have taught us in Psalm 139, that you are God who knows everything, God who is everywhere, God who is all powerful, and God who is all good to your people. And as such, Lord, we are so thankful that we can always bring our cares and worries to you, that when we find ourselves caught in this storm of anxiety, that we can find the refuge in the rock of ages, who always stays and knows and empowers and changes his people, gives good things to his people. So Lord, We ask that you will help us to fix our eyes on you. But there will be many moments in our lives where we will struggle with many more anxieties, many more worries and cares. But help us, O Lord, to firmly anchor ourselves in you so that we may face them with confidence, with boldness, with humility, and with trust in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.